and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor at Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Hi everybody, thank you so much for watching our service online. If you're very first time watching a Valley Online service, or you're on Facebook, on YouTube, wherever you are, it's great to see you. Thanks for joining us. And for the regulars, thanks so much for tuning in again. And for the guys in South Preston, big shake out. Hi guys. Our second week in our venue in South Preston in Pembridge. And next week, you can book in from Monday, as has already been mentioned. And Lancaster will go on as well. I'm so excited. And then other venues throughout August. Do get yourself booked in as soon as possible and come and enjoy worshiping together. It's a great experience. So thank you very much for joining us. I hope you had a good week too. I, this week, have been practicing my baking skills, which some of you might have realised. I baked some shortbread live for everybody to see. I tested it. It's great good. It was very good. And if you're in South Preston and you wanted to this morning, hopefully I remembered to bring some pieces in for you to try, and you would agree, it's very nice shortbread. It did rather fall to bits on the video. But never mind, it was very, very good. The reason I did it was I am finishing off a series I started a while ago called Discipleship, The Art of Producing a Banquet. You see, God calls each one of us to be disciples and help other people to become disciples. Matthew 28, verse 19 says this: "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Verse 19 says, therefore, go and make disciples. And we are called to make disciples and to be disciples ourselves, to become and help others to become followers of Jesus Christ, to put Jesus's teachings into our life. And the reason is this: you see, God loves us. God believes in us enough to send his son to die on a cross so that we could regain a relationship with him. And later on in the service, if you don't know Jesus or you've been far from him, then we'll give you a moment where you can begin or re-establish that relationship with him. You see, God loves the people he made. And as we follow him, he wants to actually give us a blessed life. The Bible talks about giving us a blessed life, a life full of hope, a life full of purpose and of love and of joy and of meaning. God wants to bless us so that we are blessed, so that we can bless others, so that we can honor him, and so that other people can find him through us and the life that we live. And this discipleship, this way of living and following Jesus, is like a banquet. A banquet which we set before ourselves and set before others through the decisions that we make, the situations that we create, through the decision, the life choices that each one of us makes. And you know, a great banquet, if you sit at it, is full of beautiful, it's a beautiful show of meals, of plates, of all sorts of things, and it's just beautiful. And we're supposed, as disciples, produce a life that's beautiful so we can enjoy it and others can enjoy it. A banquet is tasteful. Each mouthful is delightful, and we enjoy, and we get so excited, and we want to try all the different dishes in a great banquet. And our lives should be tasteful, both for ourselves and for other people. They may taste and see that God is good. A banquet is fulfilling. When you finished a great meal, you sit back in your chair and you go, oh, I feel so good for having that food. And that's how our lives are supposed to be, and how we're supposed to leave other people when they've been, as it were, dining in our presence. And it's nutritious. A great banquet is nutritious. It actually helps us and sets us up. It's full of good things to help us live a great life. And so discipleship is like a banquet that we produce through our decisions, through the circumstances, through the culture that we produce. And it's made up of many individual dishes. Dishes that each have a recipe. And in previous messages, I've talked about recipes and how you find them. These recipes need to be found and then understood. I've talked about that. And recipes need great ingredients, great quality ingredients, and the right quantity of ingredients. And last time I spoke about making sure we have great ingredients going into our life so that we can produce a great banquet. But today, I want to talk about making the banquet happen. You know, you've got your recipes, you've got your ingredients. It's time to get stuck in and go and making it happen. You need to get into the kitchen, get the tools out to begin, the pots and the pans, the knives and the whisks. It's about the chef, the cook, you and me, bringing our wisdom into the kitchen to make these great meals, these great plates. And it's about using the right cooking techniques. So if you want a title for today's message, this is it. Discipleship, the art of producing a banquet. Part four, making it happen. So before I begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us, that you believe in us, that you sent your Son to die on a cross so our rebellion against you could be forgiven, so our sin, our dirt, our wrongness could be cleaned up and cast as far as the east is from the west, that we could have a perfect and fantastic relationship with you. We thank you that you believe in us. And we thank you this morning that you are with us, wherever we are, wherever we're sat, wherever we're listening, wherever we're taking notes. God, you are with us. And Father, I ask that you would speak to us this morning. Speak to me as I'm speaking right now. Speak to each person that's hearing. Speak to the group of us as we meet in South Preston. Lord God, come and instruct us. Help us to connect with you. Understand more of you, more about ourselves, more about others, more about our future, more about our present. And Father, I pray if there's any listening to this who don't know you, who have drifted far from you, may today be the day where they say yes to renewing or beginning a relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. The art of producing a great banquet, part four, making it happen. Three things. I'm going to talk about a kitchen full of instruments. I'm going to talk about the skill of a chef. And I'm going to talk about how we cook things in the banquet that I've been talking about with your life. I want to begin with this idea that a kitchen is full of the right tools. Point number one, the kitchen is full of the right tools. 2 Timothy 3:16, one of my favorite verses that says this: all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The man of God may know what to do in every situation, so the man of God can produce a great banquet in his life. You need great tools in a kitchen if you're going to produce great food. And if you ever walk into our kitchen at home and open the drawers and the cupboards, you will see that my Michelle has tools of all descriptions to make all sorts of wonderful delights when she so chooses and we get to enjoy. It's the same in our lives if we're going to produce a great kitchen. And it begins with the basics of having a Bible. And I want to suggest, if you want to be a great disciple of Jesus, that you actually invest in three Bibles. Not just one Bible, but three Bibles. You see, the Bible is written in ancient languages, in Aramaic, in Greek, in Hebrew, and if you're like me, you're probably not very good in those languages. I know a splattering of Greek, but that's all I know. Don't know any Hebrew or Aramaic. And therefore, we have some wonderful scholars who translated for us. But obviously, translating from one language to another isn't always easy to get the exact word or the exact meaning, especially if it's an old language. And so they try their best. Some scholars, they try and do an accurate word-for-word translation. And my favorite word-for-word translation is the New King James. And get something like the New King James, which does a word-for-word translation. It's not always easy to understand, but it'll help you understand the words that we use, the Greek, the Hebrew, the words that we use. Others have gone, as it were, on the far end of the spectrum and said, well, we want to make it super understandable. And so that people can read it in their own tongue and language. And it becomes really the author's take on the original languages. Now, they're still useful. And I have Bibles like The Message on my shelf, which are super easy to read. And I would recommend you get one of those. And then there's the ones in the middle. The ones in the middle who are trying to portray as accurately as possible what the ancient language says, but aren't trying to make it super understandable. They're just trying to be accurate. Things like the NIV and others. There are other versions, but I would go for three. Get three Bible tools in your kitchen to help you understand the Bible better. But there's much more than that than you should have in your kitchen. You should have commentaries. Commentaries are Bible scholars, preachers and teachers' thoughts on particular passages, chapters, books of the Bible. It's well worth going to a Christian bookshop or going online and scrolling through a few of those and see if you can find some to help you, and then get those on your bookshelf. Or I know for some of you, get them into your computer, buy them as audiobooks or as video books, and so that you have them. There's Bible dictionaries. Again, you get these online, but Bible dictionaries help you understand the background, the history, the geography, the culture of when the Bible was written. And they're very useful tools to have in your kitchen, on your bookshelves. There's theology books. Will help you understand doctrine. The, you know, when we say, you know, Jesus was fully man and fully God, well, what does that mean? A good theology book will help you understand it, who the Holy Spirit is, who the God the Father is, his role, how the world came to being, what sin is, why we needed a Savior. All those kind of theological questions will help you, and you need to get one of those tools on your bookshelf. You also need some great people in your kitchen who will advise and help. Friends, you need some leaders that you know and you can talk to. You need some mentors, people who are there to help you and instruct you and will be a little awkward and tell you maybe that thing that you don't want to hear, but will help you grow as a disciple. And advisors, people in your world that help you. And I think one of the most important tools every single Christian needs is a community, a Christian community to live in, to be a part of, to rub shoulders with, to get your corners knocked off, to get things challenged, to work out relationships. There's nothing better, I don't think, than having a community of believers around you. We're all a bit broken, we all need some help, and actually we can help each other by being together. There can be no lone Christian disciples if you want to produce a great banquet, both for yourself and others, and to honour God and help people find Jesus. Number one, a kitchen full of the right tools. Number two, taking notes, number two, write this down. We need a honing of skills. We need to improve our skills as a chef, as a spiritual chef, so to speak. Hebrews 6, verses 1 to 3 says this. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the acts that lead to death, and our faith in God, instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. Verse 1 says this, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Let's improve our skills. Let's become mature at what we're doing. Let's become better chefs, better spiritual chefs, become better experts at producing great situations, a great culture, that we may walk into that and those around us may enjoy it as well. And I think there's three things you need to think of as we hone our skills. The first one is this. We need a greater understanding of God. We need a greater understanding of God. We need to read the Bible many times so that we have, as it were, the whole counsel of God in our mind and in our heart. And if you've never done it, I want to encourage you. If you're going to hone your skills, become a better spiritual chef, you need to read the Bible many times through so you can get the whole counsel of God. You can work your way through and understand why God did what he did in the Old Testament as well as what he did in the New Testament. And then put the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament. But it's more than that. It's about spending time so that you can hear the voice of God speak into your life. So that your heart, as it were, beats more like God's heart. So you can sense his prompting. So you can sense his promptings in different situations. So you, as it were, there becomes an instinct in how you live your life, what culture you're creating. Why? Because you know God so well. He's, as it were, is closer than a brother to you. We also, though, need to have a greater understanding of ourselves, who God made us to be. You know, God made you wonderful. God made me wonderful. I was actually joking when I did the baking. I was saying, you know, normally I do chainsaw videos and other DIY stuff, but today I was in the kitchen doing some baking, and you know what a wonderful husband I am. And I was kind of cool, you know, messing around. But actually, I believe God has made each one of us the potential to be great husbands, to be great wives, to be great friends, great sons and great daughters, great grandchildren, great work colleagues. God has given each one of us the ability to be amazing people. We need to understand ourselves, understand our skills and our strengths, understand the gifts, the natural gifts that God has given us, the supernatural gifts that God has given. Our passions, our heart dreams. We need to understand ourselves. And also, we're fallen human beings. So we need to understand our failings, our weaknesses. We need to understand the things that cause us to trip up, for sins in our life that keep rearing their ugly heads that need dealing with once and for all so we can walk forward and mature and be great spiritual shepherds. We need to understand ourselves better. We also need to understand others better too. From a great spiritual sense, we need to understand other people, how people, other people think and react, how to help different characters, how to help each one really, really well. And then also learn the art of allowing them to help us, because that helps us and it helps them. Actually, it's a win-win when two friends help each other. We need to learn to discern when God is speaking to us about other people, that we can help them or speak words of encouragement and life into them. But we need to learn about others. Matthew 10, verse 16 says that we need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves in our dealings with other people. God calls us to use both our brains and his wisdom and insight so that we can, as it were, understand other people better. As we make this happen, secondly, a honing of skills. Becoming a skilled chef is really important. And thirdly, we need to learn how to cook each dish appropriately. We need to learn to cook each dish appropriately. Different dishes in the kitchen need you know, cooking in different ways. You know, some need boiling, others need frying, some need baking, some need poaching, some need freezing, others are best barbecued. There's a whole different way, range of things that we do to food to make it sure it tastes amazing. It's the same for eating great banquets for other people. We need to make sure that we're in the right time. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8 say this: "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. There's a time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace." There's different seasons and different times. There's different way of cooking things. There's different way of producing a godly culture. There's a different way of doing things. Even though in one sense we're doing exactly the same thing. It depends on the time. It depends how we cook the situation. So, to speak, each situation that we come to, each recipe that we have to make up in our life, each situation we need to solve, might need a slightly different way of doing things. I use this phrase. Do you know, when we come to a situation, we need to apply what we know in the right way, at the right time, with the right attitude, considering the present and the future. I'll just read that again. We need to apply what we know in the right way, at the right time, with the right attitude, considering both the present and the future. We need to cook, create the culture, make the decisions that's right for that time, for that season. You know, I know, it's so easy to say the right thing in the wrong way, or at the wrong time, and everything blows up. And it's not that you said anything wrong, it was just at the wrong time, or you said it in the wrong way. And we need to figure out, in every situation of life, how we do it, what we say, how we say it, and how we're thinking at the time. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 says, "There is a time for everything, and a season for every type of activity." Hey, let's make sure that every time we come to a different situation, we're figuring out what to do it, how to do it the right way, the right time, the right attitude, thinking about the present and the future. Help us. Let's think about how we're going to cook each and every decision we're making the right way. Well, everybody, I hope you've enjoyed the series, Discipleship, the Art of Producing a Great Banquet. I've really enjoyed thinking about it and putting it together. You know, discipleship is a long lifetime journey of following Jesus. And I believe for each one of us, myself included, that we can get better at it. We can produce better and better dishes. We can produce a better and better banquet for ourselves and for other people as we go forward. As we think about how we're going to do it at work and at home, in relationships, in our finances, and in our fun times, what we're going to do to produce a great amazing life as we follow Jesus Christ. And I just want to say this as I finish. It's all done by making one great decision at once. Just one great decision at once. And maybe you've been listening today and you think, well, what shall I do? I want to encourage you to read back through your notes, or when this goes live on the website on Monday, to just listen to the relevant bits and find one or two things and decide to make those changes in this coming week. Don't try and do everything, but do try and do something that you may become a better chef, get some more tools, as it were, in your kitchen, that you may learn some more recipes, get some more ingredients. It's just one decision, one decision. You see, God believes in you. He believed in you enough that he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, his one and only son. He sacrificed him on your behalf because he believes in you, he loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. And, you know, he believes in you enough to equip you. He's not going to leave you alone. You know, the very first passage I shared from Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, it says at the end of it, lo, Jesus says, I will be with you to the very end of the age. Jesus promises to be with you and help you, to equip you, to give you wisdom. James 1, verse 5 says, if you ask, that God loves to give wisdom generously into every believer, and he will strengthen you. He has promised to send his power, his Holy Spirit in your life to help you. And also remember, all of God's people, all your church family, they're cheering you on, they're believing in you. They're believing in you, they love you and believe in you. And all of heaven is cheering. But, and all of heaven's resources is at your fingertips, because you are a son, a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, it's time this series came to an end. I'm going to finish with a prayer, and then at the end, once I've finished, somebody's going to come and give you that moment, as it were, for the first time in a long time, to say, I'd love to begin a relationship with Jesus, I'd love to begin that discipleship journey with him. Father, I thank you that you loved us enough to send Jesus. And Father, I pray as I come to this end of this series that you'll help each one of us produce a great spiritual banquet for ourselves and our families, for our communities, for everybody who interacts with us, that we may enjoy it. Because, Father, I believe you want to bless and pour good gifts into our lives. And those around us may enjoy it too. And as we do it, Father, that we may always and primarily seek to honor you and help others, not just understand about you, but come into a relationship with you too. So, Father, thank you. Just to show each person who's watched this at least one thing to do this coming week, and help us as we make decisions this week, Father. One decision at a time to make great decisions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.